Barbarian Tribes of Rome. The Celt Migration, Part 3. While most of the Celts that attacked Greek cities throughout Thrace and Macedon that had been invited to cross the Hellespont to fight Bithynia as soldiers, there's evidence that suggests that a large portion of this group was not. These soldiers, which all came from similar tribes, traveled with women and children, which suggests at least part of this expeditionary force left the Celtic homeland to try and find new lands to settle. The failed invasions of Greece limited their options, and so they crossed in the Asia Minor. In the early years of their presence in Asia Minor, the Celts formed a part of the Bithynian army. But in 275 to 274 BCE, the Bithynians suffered a catastrophic defeat at the Elephant Battle, and the Celts found themselves on the wrong side of history. The Seleucid king, who then took control of Bithynia, Antiochus I, banished the Celts in the barren region in central Anatolia. The people in Asia Minor at this time referred to the Celtic tribe as Galatians, so the area eventually was occupied was known as Galatia. In the next few centuries, the Galatians ran frequent raids against various cities in Asia Minor. Each of the three different tribes that banded together to settle in Asia Minor had its own region to raid. This practice was rather lucrative against the relatively wealthy city-states in the area, which had benefited from Greek trade and cultural influence. This made it possible for the Celts to maintain their traditional way of life, their prestige goods society. In addition, the Celts also frequently served as mercenaries in the Seleucid armies, and their strong warrior culture made them a powerful addition to this kingdom's military. However, by the 2nd century BCE, the Romans had become the most powerful empire in Europe, and they began to flex their muscles in Asia Minor. Specifically, in 191 BCE, the Romans offered support to the Pergamese in a campaign against the Seleucids and their Galatian mercenaries, and they won a resounding victory. During the peace talks, the Celts, Galatians, agreed to stop all raids in the surrounding territories. In exchange, the Romans agreed to help the Galatians remain free from Pergamum and from their control. However, this peace treaty only lasted 2 years as the Celts began raiding once again. Yet the Romans interfered and defeated them soundly and negotiated a new peace treaty again. Stripped of their ability to raid surrounding settlements for resources, the Galatian society structure began to weaken. They no longer had the resources to support their prestige good economy. This caused them to gradually integrate into the local culture. Celtic tribes arrived from Europe from time to time, and raiding would ensue, but by the 1st century AD, the Galatians had almost entirely been absorbed into the culture of Asia Minor. However, they maintained their language and strong ethnic identity, mainly by continuing to identify themselves as Galatians. They did this so well that when the Roman apostles traveled to Galatia in the 4th century AD, they were able to recognize the similarities between the language spoken in Galatia and those spoken in lands throughout the rest of Europe, and still were identified as Celtic. Somewhat surprisingly, a significant quantity of Celtic artifacts were also found in the Pontic-Caspian steppe, which is the territory that stretches from the mouth of the Danube River into the Black Sea, all the way east to the Caspian Sea. However, historians and archaeologists have been unable to identify exactly why these artifacts are there. Two prevailing theories are: 1. The area was settled as part of the overall Celtic migration that began in the Hallstatt zone and spread throughout the rest of Europe. And 2. The Galatians, having had their right to raid in Asia Minor revoked by the Romans, moved north into the Pontic-Caspian area. However, there is no evidence to prove either theory, and because of the lack of written records, little is known about the Celtic cultures living in this part of Europe and Asia during and after Celtic migration. While most of the Celts were living in the Hallstatt zone and the Danube River began migrating throughout Europe starting in roughly 500 BCE, the Celts who lived on the Iberian Peninsula, which today houses modern-day nations of Spain and Portugal, most likely arrived around 1000 BCE. They mostly settled in the northwest part of the peninsula, primarily in the modern-day region of Galicia. They coexisted with many of the other different cultures. There is evidence of the Celtic culture in the Iberian Peninsula dating back to 1000 BCE is curious because at this point the Celts were just beginning to differentiate themselves from the other cultures in the Hallstatt zone. And also, there's no evidence of a large-scale migration of Celts during this time period. The lack of written records from the time means that we may never know who drove the Celts to this part of the world at this moment in history. Some argue that the presence of the Celts in Western Europe at the end of the 1st century BCE is evidence that the Celtic culture did not emerge in the Hallstatt zone, and their origin is really from the west coasts of Europe. However, there's no evidence to suggest that this is in fact the case, since we do know the Celtic migration took place starting in the 5th century, started in the Hallstatt zone. It's difficult to use this early appearance of the Celtiberians as evidence of a different origin. However, no matter which theory you describe the origin of the Celtic culture, Celtic influence in the Iberian Peninsula became more pronounced in the second half of the first millennium, when the Celts were expanding out of the Hallstatt zone to the rest of Europe. The Celtic migration is one of the most significant examples of human movement in history, both in terms of the number of people as well as the area. The Celts, which we believe formed into a distinct culture towards the beginning of the first millennium BCE, went from occupying a relatively small territory near the Danube River to occupying modern-day nations of Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Czech Republic, Poland, Russia, Slovakia, Bulgaria, Greece, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and Turkey, among others. This extensive migration was partly the result of the need for land, as this growing population needed to expand out of the Danube River Valley. But it also came from the Celts' unique way of life, specifically raiding. Raids were established early on in Celtic history as an important aspect of society, and Celtic men wishing to increase their social status often engaged in raids largely because of the bounty that they acquired could be distributed to win the loyalty of those in their tribe or settlement. This enhanced prestige also made it easier for the same leaders to recruit more men for the next raid, which would make the campaign more successful and increase his status even more. This type of social structure provided a great incentive for more and more raids. This eventually became an integral part of the Celtic way of life. Because of this, the Celts were especially motivated to continuously expand, meaning Celtic culture and their way of life quickly spread across Europe and beyond. However, perhaps more surprising is the way in which Celtic culture was maintained throughout this diaspora. As mentioned, there was no unified political structure that united the various Celtic cultures. Instead, it was their way of life, raids, religion, art, as well as their language that bound them together. Furthermore, because of the strength of their culture, Celtic tribes who settled in other regions of Europe were able to maintain their cultural identity despite being surrounded by a number of distinct cultures. As a result, the Celtic culture remained strong as Europe changed considerably under the influence of the Romans, and it also had a considerable impact on the other cultures developing in the region, an impact which can still be seen today. And to some extent, this migration is going to be similar to what happened when the Germanic tribes came in. It's just larger, more aggressive, but there isn't any place to go once you've migrated into the region and you butt up against the Atlantic Ocean or the North Sea or the Mediterranean. So it's interesting to see how this was successful and yet how much trouble the German migration will end up being. Now, the sources for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owen, the civilization of the steppes by Conrad, and the history of the barbarians, which is a whole series on different groups, and this would, of course, be the Celt version. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.